Let's take a look at the next piece of Gemara. The last piece of Gemara before we get into the Pratim of Birkas HaPeiros. There are a number of layers to this Gemara. Let's begin by just reading the Gemara, then we'll take a step back, and then we'll take a step forward. Abba Rabba Bar Bar Chana Rabbi Yechon. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Rabba Bar Bar Chana quotes his Rabbi Rabbi Yechon, who is Mishum, not a direct quote from Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Yechon was Dach HaTalmud of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who was a Talmud of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, otherwise known as Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Borei! Take a look and notice how different the early generations are from the more recent generations. See, in the Simon Sarashas tells you, you might remember this Gemara as well from when you learned Masechet Gittin, if you got the deep into the Masechet to pay off them enough. What difference is Rabbi Yehuda pointing out to the earlier generations, later generations? Doros HaRishonim, how did they bring their fruits into the house? Doros HaRishonim hayu machnisim perisein derech traksimon kidei l'chayvan b'maser. The early generations, they would bring the fruit into the house through the traksimon. What is a traksimon? So Rashi says it means a proper door. Derech shari ha-chatzer v'habayis. The proper way into the chatzer, the proper way into the house, they would bring the fruit in through the front door. And that way it would be chayvan maser. Doros Achronim, the later generations, Achronim, obviously Tanar Behuda is talking about Tanaim, but the more recent Tanaim, Machnisim Perisein, Derech Gagos, Derech Hatzeres, Derech Karpefos, Kedla Fatrim and Hamaiser. The more recent generations, they try to bring in through literally the back door. Try to use a back door maneuver. If you don't bring the produce in through the front door, so then it'll be Pater from Meiser. The earlier generations, they were trying to figure out how they could have more mitzvahs, bring the fruits in the normal way through the front door, that way you'll be chayav a maaser. And the more recent generations, they use a backdoor maneuver, so that way they can avoid maaser. The Amra, what's this all about? The Amra Rabbi in had tevel mischayev b'maaser ad she'roa p'nei abayis. The Tana Rabbi Yanai said, or the Amora Rabbi Yanai, late Tana, early Amora, Rabbi Yanai said, that Tevel is only Chayiv and Maser if it has Roe Pnei Abayis.
What?
Tevel only becomes Chayiv and Maser if it's Roe Pnei Abayis, literally if it sees the face of the house, if it's brought in through the normal door.
What's the latch behind it?
Great question. Excellent question. So first, the Gemara goes on to quote a Pasuk. Shenemar, B'yarti HaKodesh Min Abayis. Where is that Pasuk? That's a Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, close, Kisavo. Vidu, the second paragraph in Kisavo is Vidu Maser. Twice every Shemitah cycle, a farmer is supposed to present himself in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if he can, if he's able to, you know, give a report that he kept all the halachas of a Trumas HaMaisris. And one of them, Biarti HaKadosh Min HaBayis. I got it all out of the house. After I took the Trumas HaMaisris, I gave it out to the proper people. The Truma Gedola went to the Kohen, the Maser Risha went to Levi, and so on and so forth. That means it was in the house. Why Min HaBayis Biarti? So Yanai says, the implication is, you only became Chayiv to be Mafresh Maiser once it came into the house. Ad Sheiroa Pnei HaBayis. And then Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, Af Chatzer Kovas. It doesn't have to do the Bayis. It could even be just bringing it into the Chatzer. Shene'emar v'achalu b'sharecha v'saveyu. The Torah says you'll eat in your gates, and you'll be satisfied. So it sounds like there's a chi of Trumas HaMaisris even when you're outdoors. So how could that be? It must be you don't need riyas p'nei abayis, you need riyas p'nei achatzer. So that's the Gemara. A lot of layers. Let's begin to peel away. First we have to take a step back, and then we can take a step forward. First, we have to continue doing what the Gemara did, which is to give background. So number one, the Gemara mentioned the word Tevel, and that's a good place to start. The Torah tells us in several places, in Parshas Re'eh, and several other places, that one of the many halachic uniquenesses of Eretz Yisrael is that the very soil of Eretz Yisrael is holy. There's Kedushas Haaretz. The soil of Eretz Yisrael has a holiness, and that means that the produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael has special Isurim and special mitzvahs that are not shared with the rest of the world. Let's hold on to questions for a moment. Let's just give some background. So as you know, so there are many different halachas in the Seder Zohar, many different mitzvahs tluyos ba'aretz, almost all of which apply specifically in Eretz Yisrael. And specifically here we're focused on Trumas and Maisrus. You have the produce growing in Eretz Yisrael, certainly grain, grapes, olives. Lamas, you have to take Trumas, it's going to apply to all fruits and vegetables as well. Whether it's Min HaTorah, Midrabanan is a question. It clearly applies Min HaTorah at least to Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar, to grain, wine and oil, to grain, grapes and olives. So you have a produce growing in your on your farm in Eretz Yisrael, in your front yard, your backyard, whatever it is, on the 20-acre farm. So you can't just harvest it and eat it. After you harvest, you first have to mafsh, you have to set aside different percentages. They're going to be truma and maser. Around the halacha lemaisa, around 2% goes to the kohen as truma gedola, and then you take 10%, and that's maserishin, goes to the levi. Then you take another maser, 9%. A master of what remains, and that either goes to Yerushalayim or that goes to the Aniyim. And once you've taken off Truma, Master Isha, Master Sheni, after that point, the remaining 78% or so, 77%, what remains, you're allowed to eat. Anyone, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, anyone can eat. What remains is called Kulin, which means Zonat Kedusha. As I start with 100%. Of what grew, and I take off 2%, and that's called Truma Gedola, and that goes to the Kohen. And then I take off 10%, that's the first tenth. That's Maaser Rishon.
Is that remaining after the 2% is taken off?
That's a good question. That's the Machlokas and Tosis and Gittin. It's a great question. Great question. Is 10% precise or is 10% approximation? It's really 9.8%. That's 2 days since Tysus is again. Amazing. Good. So my Sirishim goes to the Levi, and then 10% of what remains, which is either 9% or 8.87 or something like that. But either precisely or approximately, we'll call this 9%, is the second Maaser. So most years it's Maaser Sheni. And it goes, you don't have to give it to anyone, but you eat in Yerushalayim. We spoke of that a little bit earlier in the year. And 2 years out of the seven, instead it's Maser Ani. And it goes, as the name indicates, to the Ani. Okay. And then what remains over here, which again, once you took off, how much you take off altogether? Around 21%. Give or take. 21%. So around 79%. That's chulin. Before you took off the truma gedola, and there are more dinim in terms of what happens to the maaser rishon, to trumas maaser, but the view from 30,000 feet, the big picture, is once you took off the truma gedola, the maaser rishon, the maaser sheni, what remains is kosher. Any Jew can eat it. Tahar, tameh, yushalayim, chutzlaretz, it's all. It has no kedusha left. That's what we call it chulin. Chulin means it does not have kedusha until you take off the Truma Gedola, the Maaser Ish, the Maaser Sheni. Initially, everything that grows, you harvest it, it's called Teva. It's called Teva. It is Aser for a Jew to eat Teva. It's Chiv Misi B'dei Shamayim, regardless of whether you're a Kohen, Levi, or Yisrael. You know, I'm a Kohen, you give me the Truma Gedola, let me just eat it all anyways. No. Teva is Aser, that's an Isur Daraisa. An Isur that's very severe, Isur Daraisa to eat Teva. One, Teva means the things that grew in Eretz Yisrael before the Trumas and Maaser were taken off. So aside from the fact that there's probably a mitzvah of Hafrashas Trumas and Maaser, and there's certainly a mitzvah to give the Trumas and Maaser to the right person, but aside from those mitzvahs, Hafrashas Trumas and Maaser is Hafrasha, the designating of these two apples, these two pears, these two peppers, whatever, are the Truma, and that's the Maaser Rishon, that's the Maaser Sheni. The designation, the Hafrasha, is also, in addition to being a mitzvah, it's a matir. It's a matir, the Isur of Tevel. Until you do the Hafrash of Shumas Maisu, the Isur of Tevel, you can't eat it. Okay, that's the big picture. That's the big picture. As things grow in Eretz Yisrael, there's an Isser of Tevel. Again, as I mentioned before, these dinim of Tevel and Truma Samaisers certainly apply min ha-Torah to Dagon, Tirosh, and Yitzar. They certainly apply midrabanan to vegetables. And in terms of other fruits, so that's a big machlokas that we've shown him. Does this apply min ha-Torah to all fruits? Vegetables are midrabanan? Or it applies min ha-Torah only to Dagon, Tirosh, Yitzar, and all other fruits and vegetables are midrabanan? Either way, lemaisa, it applies to all of them. Now, you open up the first Mishnah in Maseches Masros, which is a Masechet Zram called Trumos, a Masechet Zram called Masros, and a Masechet Zram called Masros Sheni. You take a look in the opening Mishnah, Maseches Masros, if I can share with you, the amazing. The Mishnah wants to know, well, when does Maaser apply? Kol Avim Maaseros, opening Mishnah. Perek Av Mishnah. Kol Avim Maaseros, here's the principle of Maaser. Kol Shu Ochel, V'nishmar, V'gidul Min Haaretz Chayev V'Maaser. Maaser applies to something, if you have something that grows from the ground. It does not apply to, you're raising cows in Eretz Yisrael. You're making cheese in Eretz Yisrael. There's no din of Trumas and Maaseros. Okay, it has to be Gidul Min Haaretz. It also doesn't mean if you are a mushroom farmer in Eretz Yisrael, there is no din of the Trumas and Maaseros. Mushrooms don't grow, they're fungus, they don't grow from the ground either. They have to anchor somewhere, but they don't have roots. Okay, but if you have something growing from the ground, and it's not hefker, it's nishmar, not just wild dandelions that are growing, you're picking the dandelions, and everyone's mafker, even though dandelion leaves are tasty, as the people who hike and forage know. But we're looking at something that grows from the ground and is not hefker and is an ochel. So if you're growing flax in Eretz Yisrael and you're using it to make linen, you're growing cotton. I don't know if cotton grows in Eretz Yisrael, but imagine if it did. So if you're growing cotton in Eretz Yisrael, so there is no, you're not eating it, you're making it into fabric. So there's no din of truma samaisers. It has to be a food item which is growing from the ground in Eretz Yisrael and is not hefker. Okay, so then it has a chiyuv trumas. Then the Mishnah says another klal, ach acher amar, kosher tchilaso ochel v'sofo ochel. If something is edible from the beginning and edible at the end, alfa pishu shomer lahosif ochel, even though you're keeping it to enable it to get bigger.
What?
Even though you're waiting, as Rashi says. Next week's parsha, the Aviv Shomaras Hadavar. Yosef shares his dreams. His brothers are not happy, to put it mildly. And the Torah says, Aviv Shomaras Hadavar. His father, how he translates, guarded. And he was guarding Yosef from his brothers, guarding the brothers from Yosef. So Rashi says, no, Shomar doesn't always mean to guard. Shomar could also mean to wait. So in this Mishnah, ironically, you have the same Shoresh used in two different ways. In the first cloud, Nishmar meant that it's guarded. In other words, that you're growing it in your own field. It's not hefker. It's not growing wild. But now, in the second cloud, it said if it's, so you have an item which is edible at the beginning and edible at the end, even though you're shomro, you're waiting in order to host the ochel for it to get bigger, chayev katan v'gadol. Then you're chayev whether it's big or small. What does this mean? Let's read one more line. Chal she'en chilas ochel, but if it's not edible at the beginning, the sofo ochel, was edible at the end, ain't no chayv ad she ye asa ochel. It's not a chayv until it becomes an ochel. What does that mean? That means the following, that there are some edible plants that are edible more or less from the get-go, but you don't pick them prematurely because you want them to get bigger. But they're already edible, just a question of small or big. And that tends to be true for many vegetables. That's a question. You leave the... I think it's true for carrots. I think it's true for lettuce. If you leave the ground longer until a certain point, it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger. But if you would pick it earlier, it would still be tasty and edible, more or less. It just would be small. So that's the first scenario in this Od Kol Acher Amar. Tchilaso Ochel V'Sofo Ochel. It was edible earlier too, but you usually wait, you're shomer, in order for lehosev ochel, or to get bigger. So then, whether you pick it earlier or later, it's going to be chayev in trumas and maaseros. If you picked it prematurely, either because you're not such an experienced farmer, or because you were just impatient, or you were so excited that your carrots are growing, or whatever it is. Well, so you picked it early, it's smaller, and you'd be mafresh from its rices. But think about those tomatoes you might have been growing in the backyard. Or think about the apple, the plum that's growing on the tree. Or grains and fruits tend to not be edible until they grow for a while. If you pick the tomatoes too early, they're green. And unless they're meant to be green, they're green and hard and taste horrible. If you pick an apple too early also, it's going to taste terrible. It's not edible if you pick it too early. So then the Mishnah says, even though this is an ochel v'nishrim, I have an apple. I have a tomato. Tomatoes, in case you're wondering, are botanically, we make a hadama, but they are a fruit. That's why they behave like other fruits. So if you pick your tomatoes too early, I pick unripe tomatoes, not just ugly tomatoes, but unripe tomatoes. I picked unripe tomatoes in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not mafresh trumas amaisus. I eat ochel nishmar gidulim ha'aretz. Well, tomatoes aren't ochel, but this one isn't because you picked it too early. It tastes terrible. Oh. And then the Mishnah goes on to ask two questions. The Mishnah goes on to ask two questions, and this is key. Mishnah is based to Dalid, are, as you see it over here, answering this question. Amos had Peros. For when are Peros Chayav in Maisros? Or to use the language that's usually used, what's the onas on Maisros? What's the time or the season of Maser? And the Mishnah goes on to give a lot of examples. Here's the point in time for carob, and here's the point in time for this fruit, and for that fruit, and for this vegetable, and for that vegetable. If you pick it too early, it's not chayiv at all. If you pick it before it's ripe, it doesn't have to be fully ripe, but before it's ripe, you may have seen the term havoas shlish. The Ritva called that growing a third. If you pick the fruits, you pick the grain when they're still really unripe, so then they're never going to be chayiv in trumas amaisus. It's just not edible. That's those three mishnayos, perek aleph of Maisros, mishnayos beis gimel dal, give you a lot of examples which don't mean as much to us because we unfortunately don't live on farms in Eretz Yisrael or for that matter anywhere in the world. But the mishnayos say if you pick olives before this point, if you pick your carrot before that point, you pick your dates before this point, there's never chayv mice. You have the ritva in front of you, and that's what the ritva says. Dine tevua, ad shelo hevia shlish, if it's grain in particular, for grain, the onus hamasrus is a third grown. If before a shlish, if you picked it, before it even got to a third of its growth, ain't a bataras maser klal. The whole halacha of Maaser just doesn't apply. The ain dina eladina kiddushayim. It's like picking grass. It's not a food. It grows from the ground, but it's not an ochel. And that's what that was the second klal in that first Mishnah. If it's sofa ochel, but not chilasa ochel. The Mishnah hevia shlish. Once it grew a third, and then you picked it after that point. Harehi b'taras maser. Now it's within the parasha of Maaser. You pick it once it's ripe, or at least somewhat ripe, so then already we can talk about Maaser. V'shazu nikres, here's the term, onasa l'maaser. That's its time for Maaser. So if you talk about grain, wheat, barley, the onas ha-maaser, the point of growth at which it's minimally ripe, is a shlish. Uperes gamke yishleim ono l'maaser. And fruits also have their own time when they're considered to be ripe enough. Kol echad lefi inyano, for each fruit is different. Each one has its own. There's a particular stage for carob. There's a particular stage for oranges. There's a particular stage for dates. There's a particular stage for figs. Kid de isa b'maser. As you, if you open up Mishnah's Maisers, yeah, and you'll find it. And here you know, it's number, foot number 59, tells you. Ayin Maisers, Perek Alef, Mishnah Gimel, and so on and so forth, the Gemara of Shoshanah. Okay. That's the first time.
That's point number one. Point number one is the onus on masters. And that's the topic of Mishnah's Beis Gimel and Daled. Yeah, question.
What does it mean for it to grow from the ground?
As opposed to...
Like,
I understand that you live in the city. But like, apples don't grow on supermarket shelves.
Like the hydroponics, I like...
That's a good question. So when you learn Maseches Gittin, maybe you explored the question of Atzis Nachav, Atzis Shein Nachav. The Tanam already deal with the original hydroponics. Well, let's say I have a pot, I have a planter with soil in it. It depends. It depends on a couple of factors, and also Mutul Machlokas Rishonim. Some of the factors include whether it's Atzitz Nakav or Atzitz Eino Nakav. If you have a flower pot with a hole, you've sometimes seen those, flower pot with a hole in the bottom, which is used for drainage, it also makes it more likely that we should see the soil. I have a flower pot with soil and there's a hole, and it's sitting on the ground outside, so then it's easier to make the argument that if I have an extra mound of soil in my backyard and I planted that mound, that's all part of the dirt. So if it's Atzitz Nakav, it's most likely considered to be a Hemshech of the soil below, and it's the same as growing in the soil below. Atzitz She'eino Nakav, so it's probably not the same. There's some Rishonim raise a question about maybe we should differentiate between different materials that the Atzitz is made out of. Maybe the Atzitz is made out of earthenware, you know, that classic sort of reddish-brownish look. That's a klicheres. So maybe that is made out of dirt. Now it's baked dirt, but maybe that's more of a hemshech. But maybe if it's a metal or even wood, maybe it's less. And we just said and there are cases where you're chayim. Now Torah cases you're chayim and rabbanon. So you got to work out all the details. It's a very good question. Yeah.
Would individual preference have any effect here?
Individual preference.
I like eating a fruit. It's not necessarily as
right. That's a great question. So I believe. So it should be noted. The onus master, you think about the example of onus, the official example is havah shlish for grain. Havah shlish means a third grown, meaning you would normally let it, the normal thing to do is to let it go to 100%. You let it go to 33%. Whether it means 33% of size or 33% of time, whichever it is, but clearly that's way before most people do, but it's already considered to be sort of minimally, it's not the ideal, but if you pick at that point, it's edible. It's already ochel, not gourmet, but it's ochel. I think if people are picking it beforehand and eating it, you probably would say batla daito etzel das kol bnei adam. It's a general question, halacha. When are things of that nature dependent subjectively on a person's individual preference? Often we'll say, there are many areas of halacha where we'll say that if someone has a, like a real outlier in terms of his tastes, you know, he's on the edges of the whiskers of the bell curve, say at a certain point we say, batla daito das. It's very nice you have your own personal preference, but it's irrelevant because, you know, 99% of the population doesn't consider that edible, doesn't consider that to be XYZ. Two more questions, then we'll get back to the thread. Yeah.
Does Havas Shulish apply to all, everything, or just things that weren't Mitzvila Achila?
No, vegetables, the Mishnah goes on to say that if you have vegetables, that so their onus HaMaisrus is as soon as they start growing. Right. But for fruits and for grains, maybe for certain vegetables that aren't edible right away, that the letting it grow longer isn't just a question of quantitatively I want it to be bigger, but qualitatively it has to become edible. So then there is going to be some onus hamas or another, which again for grain is shlish, and for other species is whatever it is. Yeah.
What about in terms of the idea of whether or not something is? This is a little bit like what Eitan was saying, but. For something that like wouldn't ever be considered edible to a person, like something like cilantro, where there's like I believe by cilantro there's actually like a genetic thing, or some people
think it tastes like soap, and some people think it tastes delicious.
So
I won't ask for hands. Some people have no idea what cilantro is. Yeah.
But that's like an actual like genetic mutation or whatever.
That's interesting. I'm not sure. But there, right, the percentages are more significant. It's not 1-2% of the population that appreciates cilantro. So at a certain point, it already becomes significant enough. Let's get back to the thread, and then we'll take more questions. So that's point number one. Those are Mishnah's Beis Gimel and Daled raise that question. When could a fruit be chayv in Meiser? And the answer is Havash Lesh. Then the Mishnah seems to ask the same question again, strangely, mysteriously, in Mishnah Hay. Here you have the very beginning of Mishnah Hay.
Ezel Goran Lamaisras. What is the Goran? Mishnah wants to know, Ezel Gornum or Meiser. What is the process that's Chayv and Meiser? And that's the Goren is the threshing floor. You know, if you remember your Lamatas Malachas, so you remember that in order to make a loaf of bread, you first have to plow the soil, and then you plant the wheat seeds, and then they grow, and then you do Kotzer, and Ma'amer, so you harvest it and bundle it so you can handle it more effectively. And then you do Dash, Zora, Bora, Merake. Hopefully those sound familiar from Hilchos Shabbos. So you need to, Dash is very nice. You have these stalks with grain kernels inside, but I want the grain kernels without the rest of the stalk and the chaff. I'm not eating the whole thing. I want the edible part. So you have this whole process of Dash, Bora, Zora, Merake, where you're basically extracting the edible, the ochel, from the psolas. And once you're all done with that, then tochen lash ofa, then you can grind those beautiful kernels into flour, mix them with water, and bake them into bread. So goren is where you begin to do that. We do a lot of that selection process. To be dash, is to, we talked about the other day, to trample on, to thresh, is to trample on or to hit with a bat or to have the animals walk on, whatever it is, you put pressure on the stalks of grain so that the kernels pop out. So they pop out of the chaff. Now they're disconnected. And then you do Zora, where you toss it in the air on a windy day. The wind blows away the light chaff and the heavy kernels fall down. And now you have succeeded in getting yourself a pile of grain. You may still need to do a little bit more work in terms of selecting. You're still going to be bowl rare. You're still going to be pulling out the pebbles. And after you do tochen, after you grind, you're going to do some more merakid. You do more sifting to get yet more of the junk. But the primary work, or at least the beginning of the work of getting the ochel mitoch hapsolas, is separating. The ochel and the psolas is happening at the goren, at the threshing floor. That's where this action is happening. So the Mishnah wants to know, what's the goren for Meiser? What does the threshing floor have to do with Meiser? What are we asking? And why are we, it seems like we start chazrin again. Oh, here's the time for cucumbers, and here's the time for grain, and here's the time for olives. Like, what's going on? I thought you were chayiv and Meiser once you pass point number one. So why is the Mishnah then talking about another point in time? Point number two, which is much later. The goren. Sometimes it's called the Goren, and sometimes it's called Gemar Malacha. Finishing the Malacha. From a Hilchos Shabbos perspective, there are more Malachas, to come. You finish the key steps in the processing. So what's this all about? What's this all about? So the answer is, the Ritva goes on to explain. Take a look inside. Achar onazu. Achar onazu im dashosa. After this point, if you threshed it and you did borer, you pulled out some of the moat, some of the shaft. Asimenu kri. And you made a nice bucket of grain. Hechlik paneh berachas. You even smoothed the top of the piles. Now you have a nice, neat pile of grain ready to go. That's called meruach, smoothing the surface of the pile. Hukba lamaser. Now is fully chayiv and meiser. Lefisha nigra malachta lagamri. The malacha is done. You haven't yet baked it into bread. You haven't even yet, what's it called? You haven't even yet ground it. But that's already called gemar malacha. Ha'olchim en ha'kazayis chayiv misa bidei shamayim. If you eat even a kezias after point number two, again, goren germar malacha, or specifically by grain, the stage is called meruach hakri, smoothing out the kri, smoothing out the pile of grain. After this point, after point number two, is utterly tevel, and eating even one kezias, chayiv misa bidei shamayim.
Whoa, that sounds quite serious. Okay, okay. We're used to that. Bacon is aser, and you eat even one kazayis of bacon, you're chayav malchus. Bas b'chalav is aser. Even one kazayis of bas b'chalav, you're chayav malchus. Okay, so this is tevel. Even one kazayis of tevel, chayav in this case not just malchus, but misa b'dei shamayim. Okay, but what was with the first point in time? And what's happening in between these two points in time? Now you're telling me it's only tevel after point number two, after Gemara Malacha. How about in between these? What do I need that first point in time for? So two things. Number one, the first point in time is a point in the development of the plant while it's growing. So that's a question of how early did you pick it? If you pick it too early, it's not going to keep growing. It will remain unripe forever. So number one, there are two things you need to do. You need to, in order to have tevel, you need to pick it late enough in its development that it's, you waited long enough that it was ripe before you picked it. Obviously, once you pick it, it's not going to continue to grow. And then, but once you pick it and it's ripe enough, it's still not fully chai, it's not fully tevel right away. If someone slaughters a pig, the meat is besar chazir, it's also midaraisa right away. But when you pick grain, fruits in Eretz Yisrael, it's not fully tevel right away. It's only fully tevel when? After Gemar Malacha. Okay, so I have to pick it when it's ripe enough. And then I also have to then process it. It's not going to be fully tevel right away. It'll only be fully tevel after I've done some processing. And the Mishnah goes on to give other examples. Again, for grain, it's once you've done dash and bori, you have a nice, neat pile of grain with a nice, smooth surface. And for other fruits and vegetables, the Mishnah says, once you pull off the leaves of this vegetable, once you take off the stalks of that, once it's processed. Now, the problem is, our Gemara mentioned something else. Our Gemara mentioned bring it into the house, right? Our Gemara said, well, if you bring it into the house the normal way, then it's chayiv and meiser. If you bring the doors achron, and they bring it in through the back door, and that way they're putter from meiser. Where did that come from? Who cares? Front door, back door, no door, house, no house. What's going on? What does the house have to do with anything? My mom's koyim sukim. What's going on? So you need to know a little more basics of Zerah, specific of Masros. And it goes as follows. Let's take a look back in the Ritva. He goes on to say, now one shar perishim inyan shehu lahem ke'in gorin. Other fruits also have an equivalent of the gorin. L'hikava l'masa, kol echad l'fi inyan, no. Okay. You start with Mishnah Hay and the next couple of Mishnahs, give the list of when's the Gemara Malacha for this fruit and for that vegetable. And then he says, V'kodim l'zman zeh, before that point in time, I kept saying it's not fully chayiv, not fully tevel. What does that mean? I picked an apple off the tree. Halacha l'maisa. You're walking down the street in Eretz Yisrael. You're on a hike in Eretz Yisrael. You pack some snacks and you pack some water. You come across a fig tree. And it's late in the summer, it's August, and the figs are ripe. The figs are purple, and they look delicious. If that's your thing, mamish fresh figs. You've only eaten dried figs thousands of miles away, so it might not be as appealing. Mamish, and I should mention, if you pick the figs too early, when they're still a little greenish, or even they're purple but they're hard, it's not going to be such a pleasant experience to eat them. That's before the basically your onus hamasros. But you pick them when they're nice and fresh and juicy in late August, schmuck. You pick carob off the tree in mid to late August, early to mid-August. So again, if your entire exposure to carob was an unfortunate moment in elementary school on Tu B'Shvat, when they gave you something that looked like pieces of cardboard and tastes like pieces of cardboard, you're like, what is this? Yeah, because it was picked months ago and it sat around some box and traveled thousands of miles. So your experience with buxer wasn't necessarily so positive. But if you eat it fresh off, the Tanakh speaks repeatedly about eating charuvin. Mishnah speak repeatedly about eating charuvin. Many of our ancestors enjoyed this. The first step to enjoying it is actually getting it fresh off the tree. So here you are hiking there to Yisrael. Mitzvah, you'll be zocheh to do that very soon. Maybe at some point in your life, not so long ago, you were walking down the road in Beit Meir. And you might not even have noticed that you passed multiple fig trees and carob trees. But if you did, and you were lucky enough, you might have reached up, not the beginning of the summer, the end of the summer, and picked a luscious fig or a luscious, not luscious, a tasty piece of carob. Now, but what's the deal? So I pick a fig off the tree. Or for the less adventurous, I pick an orange. Okay? So now what? So it's not Shemitah, it's not Arla, but Terumas and Maaser. So do I have to now take my fig and start slicing and dicing, and this 2% is going to be for the Kohen, and that 10% is for the... then I keep 79% for myself? Is that how it works?
No.
So the answer is no. Why? Well, okay, good. So number one, if it's Hefker, it's not Chayv Terumas and Maaser as well. Fantastic. Even if it belongs to your friend, it belongs to someone. Yes, it does belong to someone. Ah! So, well, we haven't done any Gemar Malacha. It's not like I picked 20 figs and now I'm processing them snipping off the stems and doing whatever I need to do, whatever, check the Mishnah, whatever the Gemar Malacha is for carob or for figs or for oranges. I'm just standing out here with one fig. We call that achilas haroi. In between, before Gemara Malacha, achilas haroi is fine. Achilas keva is no good. After Gemara Malacha, after the Gora, even achilas haroi is off limits. After Gemara Malacha, you can't eat it whatsoever. Before Gemara Malacha, you can eat it the aroy, a little snack, but not bekvias. So I'm about to present to you is a presentation of most Rishon, though not the Rambam. The Rambam has a slightly different twist I'm about to say. What I'm about to say is that more or less the way the Ritva presents it, he's doing the next couple lines are a little confusing. You'll look back after, you'll see this is basically what he's telling you. Once there's a Goren, once there's Gemar Malacha, once you pass the second point in time that the Mishnah and Masters talk about, you absolutely cannot eat it without Terumas and Maaser. It is Tevel Gamur. Beforehand, you can eat Aroi but not Bekvias. What's called Aroi and what's called Kvias? So there are, the Rambam gives you a handy list based on going through the Mishnais. The Ritva here gives you some of them also. Some things that are Koveya include anything you eat on Shabbos is automatically considered to be Kavua, even just a little snack. Or Mekach, once you sell it, if I take that fig and I sell it to you, so then for you to eat even one fig, once it was sold, that already makes it more significant, and that's Achilles Kevin. You cannot eat without taking Terumas and Maaser. Or, if you cook it, or you pickle it, kavush, or you salt it, which you're not necessarily doing with figs, but you might do with another one of Terumas and Maaser, olives, so that also, that type of processing already makes it more kavua. Or, here's the big one. Ri'ias p'nei habayis. Once you take it into the house in the normal fashion, even if you haven't done Gemar Malacha yet, if I pick a fig outside and I eat it outside, that's fine. It's a achilas haroi, I need not take Terumas and Maaser. If I pick it outside and then I bring it into the Beis Medrash, during Shemitah, that's fine, because during Shemitah, there's no Terumas and Maaser. But if it's not a Shemitah year, by bringing it into the Beis Medrash, or bringing it in, presumably, bringing it into a house, Re'iyas Pnei Habayis is Koveya L'Ma'aser. Re'iyas Pnei Habayis makes it Chayiv in Terumas and Maaser. That's what our Gemara said. Another way of organizing everything we just spoke about, and it's the way the Ritva makes it sound here, and even more so, at the end of this paragraph, footnote 62, tells you to look back at Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, beginning of the fifth paragraph. We will get there much later in the year. He says, Min HaTorah, I cannot eat Tevel once it has undergone one of two things that make it Kavua. Either Gemar Malacha or Re'ias Pnei Habayis. Min HaTorah, I'm not allowed to eat Tevel once it was A, picked, and then became Kavua, either through full processing, Meruah Hakri, or bringing it into the house. Those things that make it Kavua Min HaTorah, also. Otherwise, Min HaTorah it's Mutter, Midrabanan, these other things also are Koveya Lamasa. I can't eat it if it went through, if it's Shabbos, or if it was sold, or if it was cooked. So again, that's the Rambam has a different way of looking at it, but that's the approach of most Rishonim. That I cannot, once I pick it, I cannot eat Achilas Keva, which either means it already went through Gemar Malacha, or even before Gemar Malacha, it went into the house, or Midrabanan, even if it's outside, it had one of the other Kovim, Shabbos, selling, buying and selling, cooking. So now, we put all together. There is a din of Tevel. The din of Tevel is one of Machol Sasurus, going back to where we began, but it works a little bit differently than most Machol Sasurus that we're used to. And that's the way to sort of put this together. We're used to, once it's Basu B'chalf, it's Basu B'chalf, it's Aser. Once it's Chazer, it's Chazer, it's Aser. The Tevel sort of comes in stages. Tevel is Aser really, fundamentally, if it's Tevel, meaning it grew in Eretz Yisrael and you happen to take off Trumas and Maisers, it's Aser to eat it in Achilas Keva. But it's Mutter to eat it in Achilas Aroi. What's called Keva? So Min HaTorah, Keva means either it went through Gemar Malacha or Re'ias Pnei Habayis. You brought it into the house. Midrabanan will even be called an Achilas Keva if it had one of the other Devarim HaKovim. Shabbos, Mekach, Bishul, Kavosh, Malicha, maybe there were one or two others also. So Tevel is Aser B'Achilas Keva, which means any type of eating once it had Gemar Malacha or any type of eating once it came in to the house. That's again the position most Rishon the Rambam and presents it slightly differently. And now, with that in mind, we come back to our Gemara, and we appreciate what's going on here, because we're talking about, give me another 30 seconds, we're talking about, as Ritva goes on to say, the Rambam has a different approach, Ritva goes on to say, we're talking about, you didn't yet do Gemar Malacha, you didn't get all the way to Meruah Kakri, you did some winnowing, but you didn't make a nice neat pile. So it's mutter to eat arai until you bring it into the house. Once you bring it to the house, then you cannot even eat arai. So in the olden days, they would bring it into the house the normal way. That's Re'ias Pnei Habayis, to make it fully chayav and ma'is. Now it's kavua. You cannot even have a little snack, because once you have Re'ias Pnei Habayis, it's every achila is achilas kava and is aser. There was achronim, they would dafka take it in through the back door, so it never experienced Re'ias Pnei Habayis. Only time bring it to house is kovei, you bring it in the normal, if you bring it in the normal way. So that's, as I said before, we took a step back, learned something about Maisers to appreciate the Gemara. Next time we'll take a step forward, which will be asking, number one, why? This is beautiful. Why is this here? I mean, brachas is seder zrahim, but it has nothing to do with brachas before or after. And what point is the Gemara driving at? We'll pick up those questions at some time.